This is the WHL This Week, Playoff Edition, presented by the Western Hockey League, the WHL Radio Broadcast Partners, and Easton Hockey. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. The second round of the WHL playoffs are underway. The Victoria Royals advancing to play Kelowna. The Royals head coach Dave Lowry will give us a series preview. No doubt fortune smiling on the Spokane Chiefs recently. Chiefs general manager Tim Speltz will stop by to talk about the team's big win at the WHL Bantam Draft Lottery and his plans for that first pick overall. NHL Central Scouting has come out with its final rankings. We'll have a recap. Calgary Hitmen overage forward Adam Tambellini, the Denny's WHL Player of the Week. He'll join us later.
Forsberg has it. He'll throw it out in front. Biggie scores the winner! He waves his magic wand and the Victoria Royals are off to round two!
The Victoria Royals, one of five teams in the opening round, to clinch the series with an overtime winning goal. In fact, McGee's marker gave the Royals a five-game series win over Prince George. I spoke to head coach Dave Lowry about that series and the second round matchup with the Kelowna Rockets. Dave, I know right ahead it's going to be a tough series, but you're getting over a series you win in five games and maybe a little bit closer than the five games would indicate.
Well, it was a tough series, and I think that we have to put it in a perspective. You know, Prince George has a very good team, and you look at, you know, the records, you know, point differential, but they were a team that went on a 12-game losing streak, and we were able to, I think, win seven or eight games in a row. So that's where the separation was. I thought there was two evenly matched teams, and you know, realistically, we probably shouldn't have won both the first two games.
How big was that Brandon McGee goal to end the series in five games and not have to make the trek north to extend that series?
Well, that's the biggest thing that we talked about, right? The further you go in the playoffs, the least amount of games you can play early on really has its benefits. And the last thing that we wanted to do was to jump on a bus. And, you know, it's a 26-hour trip for us, round trip. And that was something that we had talked about, something that we wanted to make sure that we didn't have to incur.
Now, we've been talking about the potential for this series, probably since November, Dave. We've talked on and off about the potential of playing Kelowna in round number one, and here we go. We get it started this weekend. You play them eight times in the regular season. No secrets here. You won three of those eight. What do you expect? What is it going to take to hang on with the Rockets here and try to pull this one out?
I think the biggest thing for us is we have to play our game, but we have to play our game with discipline. You know, we know that we have to respect their skill, and we have to respect their power play, and do everything in our power to make sure that we don't give them easy opportunities. And we're going to have the emotion in our game, but it's also going to have to be dialed in and in control.
You know, that three wins in eight games for Victoria is a bit misleading. I believe you led in most of the games, especially in the third period. So I know there's a sense that, you know, maybe just a few minor details. You mentioned a discipline, and you're right there. Maybe you pull out some of those close games come playoff time.
Well, the one game we lost, it was 42 seconds. We lost coverage, and you know, we ended up losing the game. And we also had another game where we gave up the winner with 6 minutes to go. So if we get our game in check, and if we are sharp on our details, we give ourselves a chance. And that's going in. That's all you can ask. And the best thing moving forward is nobody expects us to win. No one is giving us a chance. So we'll just go in and we'll worry about ourselves.
It's always nice to be the underdog here. When you look at your team and where you're at as far as morale and hungry and how you shape up there, how's the mood of the guys as you get set for a tough task?
Well, I think we're in a great frame. You know, we've been through this before. Hopefully we learned lessons last year against Portland in round two, where we once again were underdogs and we didn't respond the right way. What we have to do now is we just have to make sure that we draw on our experience and go in with the mindset that we got to go play and just play our brand.
It's perhaps the most intriguing second round series. We said that last year with Portland, I believe, as well here. So we look forward to the matchup. Dave Lowry, head coach of the Victoria Royals. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
The quest for the Ed Chenault Cup. This is the WHL This Week, Playoff Edition.
56 WHL players have been listed on NHL Central Scouting's final rankings ahead of the 2015 draft in Florida come June. 9 of the top 30 North American skaters are WHL players, while 3 WHL netminders cracking the top 10 amongst North American tenders. Ivan Provorov of the Brandon Wheat Kings jumped into the 7th spot overall. Matthew Barzell of the Seattle Thunderbirds in at number 11. Rounding out the top 30, Jansen Harkins of the Prince George Cougars at number 15. Jake DeBrusque of the Swift Current Broncos ranked 19th. Everett Silvertips defenseman Noah Juulsen at number 22. Nick Merkley of the Kelowna Rockets at 23. Ryan Pilon of the Brandon Wheat Kings ranked 24th. Tri-City Americans defenseman Brandon Carlo, 25th, and Portland Winterhawks forward Paul Bittner, ranked 26th. As for goaltenders, Aiden Hill of the Portland Winterhawks ranked 4th on the list amongst North American goaltenders. Nick McBride of the Prince Albert Raiders at number 7, and Nick Schneider of the Medicine Hat Tigers at number 9.
This is the WHL This Week, presented by the Western Hockey League.
The Spokane Chiefs will have the first overall selection at the upcoming WHL Bantam Draft in Calgary next month. General Manager Tim Speltz winning the lottery by trading for Saskatoon's first-round pick 2 seasons ago, knowing full well that trade looks pretty good now.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, obviously, you know, when we made the trade in 2013, you hope that it's a good first-round pick. It wasn't a rotation of picks or anything like that. It was just a first-round pick. So for us, you know, it worked out really well that we're able to have 2 picks in the first round, and then, you know, we're very fortunate that, you know, that Saskatoon didn't have a very good year, and then maybe more fortunate that we did, in fact, win the lottery.
You look back at this trade now, you also received a fifth-round selection in this initial deal. It was the Colin Valcourt now 2 seasons ago, and you used that fifth-round pick to select Kyler Yamamoto. So I'm sure that this is a trade that has worked out quite well here for the franchise.
Yeah, Kyler's been a real good player for us, and you know, I mean, I think whether we acquired that pick or not, we were going to draft Kyler. I mean, that gave us the depth to do it in the fifth round, I guess. But, you know, at the same time, you know, at the time, we didn't want to trade Colin Valcourt. Val was a big part of our team, but the price got to the point where, you know, we couldn't say no to what was offered. And, you know, I think as the draft works, we were fortunate enough to make the most of that fifth-round pick. And the first overall pick, obviously, is very exciting for the franchise. And you know, one of those things that doesn't come very often, and a lot better when you do have multiple picks in the first round. And that's, you know, the first time for an awful long time that happened. And you know, to have 2 high picks is going to be great for us.
So you'll step to the podium first in May. Is there a clear-cut number one this year? We've seen some clear-cut number ones in the past. Maybe there hasn't been that clear-cut number one lately, but is there one guy you're targeting and one guy you're locked on right now?
No, I think there's one guy that we think is the guy, but at the same time, you know, I don't think there's anything that's locked. But I think when you look at a lot of years past, you know, in March, there's still an awful lot of hockey left, you know, including the Western Canadian Bantam Championships and then all of the Western camps. So, you know, Western Province camps, that is. So, I mean, all those provincial camps, I think, are going to be, you know, good, you know, for everybody to get a read on the players. You know, sometimes you have some, you know, real, you know, variety of teams, good teams, bad teams at tournaments. And when you get into the provincial camps, they're a lot better in that, you know, you've got a smaller number of players and typically they're pretty competitive. So I would think by the time the process goes in April, there could be, you know, somebody that everybody's locked in on number one. But I think it's too early to say there is that right now.
What do we know about the depth of the draft here heading into Calgary's event?
Well, again, I think, you know, the draft typically, I mean, every year there's players. You know, I think if you listen to scouts, every year's draft is the best year's draft is next year. So, you know, I think that's always the case. Every year it's going to be next year because you're not drafting those players. You just get to watch them a little bit this year. So, you know, I think every year the draft is pretty good. And for us, I don't think the depth is any different this year. I think you have to, you know, look at it and evaluate it after all the camps, and that won't happen until the end of April.
Well, last time you had that first overall pick, it was Jared Cowan who you got to play for your program. Worked out pretty well. Good luck for you at the Bantam Draft coming up in May in Calgary. Tim Speltz, thanks a lot.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
Calgary Hitmen forward Adam Tambellini had a big opening round series in a 7-game victory over the Kootenay Ice. He's the Denny's WHL Player of the Week, and voice of the Hitmen, Brad Curl, has more.
Adam, let's talk first about that series with the Kootenay Ice. It goes the distance, 7 games. From a player's standpoint, was it a fun series to be in? Because it seemed to be a real emotional roller coaster, and at the end, probably a million-dollar feeling after losing to the Ice last year in the first round.
Yeah, it was a fun series, long series. Obviously, with playing them the last two regular season games, 9 games in a row is a lot to play one team, and it was fun. They're a good team. We had a pretty good battle against them, but coming out in game 7 and having a good start like we did was exciting for us, and kind of put us on the right track for that game and made it a great win.
Connor Rankin, a first period hat trick. Yourself, you had 15 points in the series, 11 in 4 games to earn a WHL Player of the Week for Denny's and the CHL Player of the Week. What went right for your group offensively, including yourself?
For me and Ranks, we were just trying to play our game and didn't do what we kind of did during the regular season. We had a good offensive outburst a couple of games there, and obviously what he was doing in game 7 was pretty special, and only certain guys can do that, and it was great for him to step up.
And a day with the Medicine Hat Tigers, two teams that fought right to the bitter end for first place in the Central Division. 95 points for Calgary, 94 for Medicine Hat. Do you see this series as close as the regular season race was?
Yeah, I think so. Medicine Hat was a very good team all season. We came on late and to just barely pass them, so we know what they can do. They got a really strong decor and some really good goalies as well, so it'll be a tight series, just like every series will be in the playoffs.
Having played a team with a lot of talented forwards like the Kootenay Ice had, does it make the transition to a Medicine Hat group that pretty much plays the same, that talented offensive group, and I don't know if it's an advantage, but at least some familiarity, that it's not a major game plan change, you would think, for your group?
Yeah, I think there definitely is some similarities in both their styles of play. I think Medicine Hat definitely has a stronger decor than the Ice did, and but they still got those same skilled small forwards up front that can make you pay. So, it's gonna be a fun series. We're kind of got our feet wet with the playoffs and the nerves out. So it'll be fun.
Last one for you. Who in that room has rose to a new level in your mind that you're kind of proud of as a teammate? I know you're proud of all these guys. You went to war all season long, and they talk about how tight this group is. But who in the playoffs went to a new level for you?
There's a lot of guys who really stepped up. Obviously with Rankin, that putting that hat trick up in game 7 was huge. But we know he can do that and showed that all year. But maybe a guy like Taylor Sanheim, who was in and out of the lineup throughout the season, and kind of came in and play in that third line, that role that with his bite, that bite in his game, and really agitating guys out there. And for him, that's when he's at his best. He's doing that kind of stuff, and we're happy to have him on our side and not be playing against them.
Adam, thanks for this, and good luck in the series against the Tigers.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's this week's show. Want to say special thanks to Brad in Calgary for his help. Enjoy round 2 of the WHL playoffs. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Western Hockey League in cooperation with the WHL radio broadcast partners and Easton Hockey, a production of NL Broadcasting Limited, Kamloops, British Columbia.